With the All-Star break and MLB draft in the rearview mirror, there's only one more event on the Flying Tigers calendar, the playoffs. There's a knot atop the West Division, and two teams are vying for the postseason battle right here as the Lakeland Flying Tigers battle the Dunedin Blue Jays in the first of a three-game set here at Publix Field at Joker Marchant Stadium in beautiful Lakeland, Florida. Hi, everybody. Welcome into the broadcast booth. Joe Puccio with you. Happy to be with you after this lengthy All-Star break, and the Flying Tigers return off that break, currently second place in the West Division. I mentioned that not, but it's between three teams. Fort Myers is at the top, Lakeland, who is just one game off the pace, and the Dunedin Blue Jays, who are 1.5 games.
And what was your takeaway from that that All-Star Futures game?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we gave him a send-off as a team, wishing him all the best, and when the game came on, it was at 4 o'clock. Obviously, the whole team, we stretched inside the clubhouse watching his first at bat. So it was a good good time for the team to see them come together and support one of their teammates. So I'm sure Clarkie knew that he had a lot of support from us and the rest of his family and friends, but he did well. He represented Detroit really well up there, and he played nearly the whole game, which was quite amazing. So he did a great job.
From your perspective, having a guy who's been an everyday starter for you this season represent Detroit on a big stage like that, how much does it mean to you personally?
Yeah, hopefully myself and the staff helped him in his development over the past year. I mean, it's what, a year and a week since he was drafted, and he's come such a long way, not just as a baseball player, but as a person. He's developed and matured a lot, and it's great to see the way he's developing, and I'm excited to watch his rest of his career.
During that Futures game, you guys were on the road in St. Lucie. What did you take away from that series?
We didn't play very well. Defense, the games that we lost, we hurt ourselves with not executing at the plate, but also bad pitching and bad defense at times. And when you have bad pitching and bad defense, that mix, good luck winning games. It's just one of those things. We had one game the last day of the season where not one pitcher could throw a strike, really. We used like 8 guys to get through the game, including Alvaro Gonzalez, position player. So hopefully they bounce back today after 4 days off, and their mind is back to playing baseball, and they're not on break still.
You say you guys didn't play well. If you look at the series, it was a split, and you guys haven't lost a series since the middle of April. That's just been the MO for you guys this year, where you guys have found ways to win. What was some of the positives from that series?
Positives were the games we won, we swung the bats well. Jose De La Cruz hit a monster home run over the batter's eye, which got us going in game two. We just had inconsistent at-bats at times, but for the majority, the guys who have been performed well. Some of the pitchers threw well. Sears did another good job going 5 innings. Lee didn't have his best stuff on Sunday, and he got hit. But, you know, we just got to move forward and take 2 of 3 off Dunedin this three-game set.
So for you, it's pitching and defense to sharpen up for this weekend. Is it reinforcing the same message, or are there some new things that you're trying to bring into the both pitching staff and with the defense?
No, we'll just keep it simple. Dominate the strike zone, but both ways, as a hitter and as a pitcher. Obviously, as a hitter, be selective, impact the balls inside the strike zone. And as a pitcher, we've got to command the strike zone and throw as many pitches that we can in the strike zone, and good stuff will happen, not just trying to strike out everyone out.
Joe Puccio here with Lakeland manager Andrew Graham here on the Flying Tigers pregame show. Also during the All-Star break was the draft, and Detroit, for the second year in a row, their first two draft choices were high school players. From your perspective, you know, obviously the guys aren't with the team just yet, but if you look at last year, Clark, McGonigal, rest of the draft class joined you guys in around August. What did you think about those draft selections coming in, and how you can start coaching or mentoring some of these young players?
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Obviously, it'll be the organizational decision if they come here or if they just stay down the FCL and practice down there. But we will see with time. Both high school picks last year, McGonigal and Clark, Clark first and then McGonigal right after him, were great picks. So I've heard nothing but good things about these two picks. Obviously, Clark knows a lot of them, so I picked his brain. He says they're very talented players. Rainer's a good shortstop, big kid, so the power's going to develop there. So it'll be interesting to see what they're like. If they do come here, I look forward to helping them develop in their career, but we'll see what happens.
What was so great about bringing in the high school guys, Clark and McGonigal, last year, and how did that bring forth some success for your team?
Well, you know, they went down to the FCL, played some games, and they did a great job down there. And we could see that they were ready to come to this level. And it wasn't just those two that came up here. We had Jarvis, we had Max Anderson. We had a lot of guys who came here and impacted this team to help on the playoff chase, which we did clinch the second half last year. But it wasn't just the new guys who brought energy. The old guys, the people who were with the team before, just accepted them into the team, and we created a great bond straight away for these guys. You know, Peck as well came, and it was good. So hopefully if we do get guys, they fit straight in with this team and we continue to do our thing.
Yeah, the old guys here are like 21, 22 yeah. years old. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. They're only like 1 year out of college, yeah.
So you guys also added another pitcher over these past couple weeks. CJ Wines was acquired by Detroit in a trade with Boston. He gets assigned down here to Lakeland. The first question for you is just what have you seen from CJ in his first appearance?
So he's thrown two appearances. First one was lights out. Really good fastball with good ride. Features a split sweeper he throws at time, but a cutter that he uses quite often. The second outing was an outing where he just couldn't find the strike zone. So
he is the starting pitcher for the Flying Tigers today. 3-3 record in 15 games so far. Today will be his 14th start. An ERA of 4.45, 76 strikeouts to 24 walks. We'll get to Dunedin's starting lineup after the national anthem, and we'll tell you Lakeland's starting lineup in the bottom of the first inning. But for right now, it is time for the national anthem here in Tiger Town, so let's tune in. Some baseball here in Lakeland. The Flying Tigers have taken the field in their home alternate uniforms. Navy blue caps with the Wing Tiger logo on the front. Navy blue shirt with white Flying Tigers script and a white number on the back. White pants with a navy blue belt, navy blue stripes down each pant leg, and navy blue socks. And as for the DJs, they go with the alternate hat, the light blue top with the navy blue brim, the Dunedin D logo on the front, that same Dunedin D logo on the front of a royal blue shirt, a white number on the back, gray pants, royal blue belt, and royal blue socks. Well, here we go. Not officially the second half of the minor league season. That already started. But we're just past the All-Star break. First game after the pause. Couple days off for Lakeland and the rest of the minor leagues. Hayden Minton lifts his leg, and the break is over as the first pitch skips in the dirt for ball one, and we are underway at 6:29 p.m. Lefty Victor Arias at the plate. He takes a look at a fastball outside. Ball two. Game time weather, 87 degrees and cloudy here in Lakeland. As Minton throws the 2-0, it whizzes outside, ball three. Definitely cooler today with all these clouds. Sun was hiding behind the clouds during batting practice. It actually felt nice to be on the field. 3-0 is in there. Sinker at 93. It's 3-1. Victor Arias, the DH for Dunedin today, playing in his 70th game. Wiggles the beige bat over his left shoulder. 3-1. Is cracked up the middle for a base hit into right center. Jose De La Cruz cuts it off with a backhand, and his throw comes in to the second baseman, Samuel Heal. A leadoff single off a 3-1 sinker to Victor Arias, and Dunedin's team leader in batting average reaches with a single. Here's Arjun Namala, the shortstop today for Dunedin. An open and tall stance in the right-handed batter's box. Minton working from the stretch for the first time today. He lifts and deals. Fastball runs outside. Valencia got out of his crouch. And he not only catches the baseball, but he keeps Arias over at first. 1-0 on the right-handed Namala. 18-year-old from Tampa, Florida, was a first-round draft choice by the Blue Jays last summer. Mittens, 1-0, runner goes. The pitch goes through Valencia's mitt, rolls to the backstop, but Arias slides into second. So no advancement past second base. The sinker was in the zone for strike one. So the count is level at 1-1. But Victor Arias is in at second. Arjun Amala, the number three prospect in Toronto's organization. Back foot on the back chalk. Mittens, 1-1. It's poked foul. It's 1-2. The defense today for Lakeland, left to right in the outfield. Brett Callahan, Max Clark, Jose De La Cruz. Clark, fresh off of his Futures game appearance. The infield third to first, John Peck, Kevin McGonigal, Samuel Heal, and Clayton Campbell. Mittens, 1-2 to Valencia. It is popped up down the right field line, and it drifts out of play for foul ball. I should have been more specific. Valencia is the catcher, so Mitten was throwing to Valencia, but Namala is the batter at the plate. He fends off another sinker. Is at 94 miles per hour. Solely sinkers in this at-bat from Hayden Mitten. He looks to second base. Hands at his chest. Long stare, goes home. Swing and a miss, strike three. He said, you want the sinker again? Well, no, I'm going curveball. And Namala was way out in front. That's the first out of the inning. First strikeout of the day for Hayden Mitten, looking to replicate his last start, which the strikeout numbers were off the charts. Here's Joaniel Aponte. First pitch to the righty. Curveball misses in. It's 1-0. In Mitten's last start, which was on July 12th in St. Lucie, just a week ago, 5 innings, 10 strikeouts, 1 walk. Career-high 10 strikeouts. His previous tie was 7. Mitten 1-0 from the stretch. Sinker that kisses the dirt. It's ball 2. And the bugaboo with Mitten is that he gives up a ton of runs. Comes into today with a 4.45 ERA. But in his last start against St. Lucie, the Mets were held scoreless. Mitten picked up the win in that game as well. 2-0. Sinker called strike at the bottom of the zone, and it's 2-1 on Aponte. Hayden Mitten, no stranger to the Dunedin Blue Jays. Pitched in Dunedin back on opening day. Mitten spins, throws to second, spikes the ball, hits off the runner, and ricochets off into right. Samuel Hill, the second baseman, picks it up, but Victor Arias advances to third. One of the easiest decisions that the official scorer will have to make today. It's an E1. Moves Victor Arias to third. And so all of a sudden, we've just started playing baseball right after the All-Star break. And Dunedin is 90 feet away from scoring the first run. The infield's in. Runner at third with one out. Mittens 2-1 home. High fly ball to left. Brett Callahan, couple steps back. He jogs in, makes the one-handed catch. Arias tags from third. The throw from Callahan. No hops, and they got him at the plate! That is one of the greatest throws you will ever see. Brett Callahan, from deep left field, no hops home. The speedy Victor Arias is gunned out at the plate. Jose Mayorga, the manager for Dunedin, is up out of the dugout. If you're watching this game on MLB TV, you just saw the replay. The tag applied right on Arias's head way before his foot got to home plate. Brett Callahan may have a career in football. The quarterback, Brett Callahan, out in deep left, throws out Victor Arias at the plate to end the first inning. No runs on a hit, one error, no one left on base, and we can take a deep breath. We've only played a half of an inning. The bottom of the first is coming up next. It's Dunedin nothing, and Lakeland coming to bat right here on the Flying Tigers Baseball Network.
The premier is 21 baseballs.
Bottom of the first. No score between Dunedin and Lakeland. The Flying Tigers coming up to the plate for the first time today. And here is their starting lineup. McGonigal, Clark, and Leonard bat 1 through 3. Callahan, Valencia, and Heal 4 through 6. Jose De La Cruz, Clayton Campbell, and John Peck round things out for Lakeland. Kevin McGonigal, first batter for the Flying Tigers. The lefty faces the righty Nolan Perry, and the first pitch is grounded to short. Namala Gloves throws to first in time. One pitch, one out to set down Kevin McGonigal. Well, what's a Lakeland-Dunedin series without some exhilarating moments? We just saw one of the best plays that an outfielder has made all season. Brett Callahan out in left makes the catch for the second out. His throw home to Eduardo Valencia, no hops. Double play to end the inning. Max Clark, the new batter for Lakeland, he takes a strike, fastball down the middle. It's nothing in one. Max Clark out there in center field, stoked for Brett Callahan, running with him back to the dugout. The 0-1, curveball misses low. It's 1-1. Clark's had an exhilarating year so far. 279 batting average in 71 games as he takes a curveball in there for strike two. League best, 57 runs batted in, 25 steals on the bases, only one error this year. Clark's done a little bit of everything. That's exactly what Detroit fans are hoping to hear out of the third overall pick last year. Perry's 1-2 is chopped down the first baseline, but foul. Count remains at 1-2. And I think the one thing, you don't see this on the box score, Max is just an exceptional guy. He's the kind of guy that walks into a clubhouse and you say, yeah, I can see why people loved him coming out of high school and why he was the top high school draft pick as Clark fists the 1-2 pitch foul. Goes out of the stadium down the left field line. The count remains at 1-2. He lights up every room he walks into. Nolan Perry working from the windup. The tall righty fires. Curveball in the dirt. Blocked by Deshams. It's 2-2 now. Nolan Perry, an 0-1 record, an ERA of 2.27. This is his 11th start of the year. The 20-year-old righty from New Mexico against the 19-year-old from Indiana. The pitch, grounded to second, fielded by Beltre. Whips to first and beats Clark by a half step. Two down here in the bottom of the first. Dunedin nothing, Lakeland nothing in the home half of the first inning. And as Eddie's Leonard comes to the plate, tell you Dunedin's defensive alignment. Robert Robertis is in left, Braden Berry in second, in center, sorry, and Joangel Aponte is out in right. Eddie's Leonard, the batter, swings at the first pitch, roped on the left field line. It's a fair ball, one hops. Did it hit off the foul pole? I believe it did. It's a ground rule double. And Leonard just gingerly jogs into second base. First at bat in this rehab assignment. And Leonard finds the 340 sign with a one-hopper. Well, Leonard disrespectfully interrupted my Dunedin defensive alignment. I won't hold it against him. The infield for the Blue Jays. Third to first, Drew Jemison, Arjun Namala, Manuel Beltre, and Christian Feliz. Brett Callahan, the next batter, and the first pitch to the lefty is spiraled foul. Goes out of the stadium. It's 0-1. Spiral indeed for Callahan, both at the plate and in the top of the first inning. That cannon all the way out and left, throwing out Victor Arias with no hops. 0-1. Pushed in the air, behind the bag at third. Jemison backtracks, and he makes the one-handed catch. And that's the final out of the first. So Lakeland gets some two-out magic from Eddie's Lingenard, but Lakeland's DH today left stranded in scoring position to end the first. No runs on a hit, no errors, one man left on base. And as we go to the top of the second, it's Dunedin nothing, Lakeland nothing on the Flying Tigers Baseball Network. Injection from the ballpark. Any damage to any of these games or other contact.
Tigers fans, don't forget to visit the Tiger Town Bar for Posa, Ken Cottons, and more. Located on the first base side of the concourse. Do the finer things with Posa.
Catch Lakeland baseball all season long on the Flying Tigers Baseball Network. Watch live and on-demand games on MLB At-Bat, MILB.TV, and the Bally Sports Live app. Listen for free on the MILB app through your mobile device's app store and at LakelandFlyingTigers.com. Joe Puccio with you here in the broadcast booth, Publix Field at Joker Marchant Stadium here in Lakeland, Florida. We're starting the top of the second inning, and there's no score between the Dunedin Blue Jays and the Lakeland Flying Tigers. The Blue Jays bring up batters 4, 5, and 6 in the order, beginning with the powerful lefty Christian Feliz against the right-handed starting pitcher Hayden Minton. Feliz in the batter's box, and the first pitch to him is a sinker called strike on the inside. Nothing and one. An eventful top of the first inning for sure as Minton whips home. Towering fly ball to center. Max Clark, with his sunglasses on, hustles to his right and is called off by Brett Callahan, and he